Welcome to What You Know About RJ, sharing stories and skills about restorative justice, a podcast of the California Conference for Equality and Justice. I'm your host, Gilbert Salazar, and we are bringing you a new series called Healing in the Community, where we're bringing community healers leading the work of collective resiliency and care. And first off, for the first show, I have a teacher of mine, a soulful, powerful medicine man who I'm going to take a step back so that he can reveal and introduce himself and his work.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Good morning, good night, wherever you are in the world. My name is Melvin Boyce II. My name in the spoken word community is also Deep Red. And I've been a self-healer. And I say self-healer because I learned about self-healing at the age of 14 when I dealt with a trauma as a child. And I learned that I had to work on myself before anyone else could give me that opportunity. And I've been able to teach other people how to self-heal probably for about the last 26 years. I grew up in Chicago, Illinois from birth to 14. And then from 14 to 18, I moved to St. Louis, Missouri. And then from 18 to 24, I was at a place called Illinois State University in Normal, Illinois. And that's where I went to undergrad. And I started graduate school there for sociology. And then I moved out to the Los Angeles area, I believe 1996, January 6th of 1996. And wow, I had the opportunity. When I first moved out, I met an amazing woman by the name of Wendy Raquel Robinson. And she had a theater conservatory, and still to this day has it. And it was called Amazing Grace Conservatory. And when I met her, not only did I get the opportunity to work with youth in the South LA community, it really made me hunger to get back inside of education because I always loved teaching. My first opportunity to serve, I was in graduate school, and this great woman, her name was Jewel Gray, and she was an amazing spirit who happened to be white. And we had a class, and the class was called Career Choice. And this class was for students that were first generation Black and Brown college students. And as you know, college or any kind of activity like that, any kind of life journey, if you're the first to do it in your family, you don't really have a roadmap. So she came to me one day, and actually she was the first one to ever teach me about a culturally responsive education. And she said, listen, you're probably not supposed to teach this class, but I think that they need to see you. They need to see your face. They need to see someone that looks like them, that has made it through college. And just you being there visually will be something great for them to learn. And I can help you and I can guide you through educating this. So that was my first opportunity, my first taste of serving as an educator. And I just loved it. And I've been educating ever since. I get to work in so many different kinds of communities, all the way from 18-month-old students at learning centers, all the way up to California State University and senior living centers. So in 1999, I hurt my shoulder and I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you know, you should really try yoga to heal your shoulder up. And yoga is pretty awesome for your emotions too. And I was like, emotions? I don't have issues with emotions. And he was like, well, give it a try. So I took this yoga class, and the teacher put me in this position called pigeon pose. And I got into this pose and I started crying, and so much emotion came up, because when I was younger, spoken word and poetry was a healing apparatus for me, because my parents had got divorced, I had witnessed some abuse, and I was able to write, and that writing kind of changed my life. It led me into being able to do poetry. And then when I took this yoga class, I realized I was able to let go of adult energy, and I was like, wait a minute, the poetry helped me move through childhood anger. The yoga is helping me move through adult issues. Why don't I put those two things together? So I sat on that idea for a long time, and I was working for a program called Operation Read. And it was a probation-based program for students that live in South LA. And one day the students in class, it was really tough to behavior manage. They weren't listening. You know, everybody was kind of grumpy. So I said, hey, let me show you guys some of these yoga poses that I do. And we start doing the yoga poses, and they kind of looked at me like I was silly and corny. And then all of a sudden, the door opened up. This young kid walked in, and they started listening to me like this young guy was a messiah or something. So he walks in, and he was like, man, you need to listen to this corny dude. I just got out of juvenile hall 6 months early because they have a yoga program. And I was like, huh? I had my aha moment. I was like, wait a minute. If they're teaching our youth yoga while they're incarcerated, why don't we get it to them before they get incarcerated? So that's what made me go on my journey in 2009 to become a yoga teacher. And I became a yoga teacher in the year of 2009. And I was having such an amazing time teaching adults and doing the physical, what they call asana part, pose part. And then I had an opportunity to meet a young guy who was paralyzed in a wheelchair. And he couldn't do any of the physical stuff. So I said, hey, we can all breathe. So let's just work on the breath. We start working on all these different breathing exercises, and this young kid in 30 minutes was drenched in sweat. And it made me realize how powerful breath work is. And it doesn't really matter what community you come from or environment you come from. When you have mistakes in life, you always say, man, if I would have just taken a moment, I could have probably been in another direction. And that's when I just really learned the power of what they call pranayama. Prana meaning life force, energy, or breath, and yama meaning to control. So basically, you control the energy that moves through your body. You know, they call it anger management. They don't call it anger go away. So we have anger management, we have grief management, we have joy management. So I've been able to show people how to manipulate their breath just to bring calm and balance to the body. And I've been on that journey, I guess, wow, now almost 12 years, going on 12 years. And it's been a real incredible ride because, like I said, I first started off focusing on the physical elements of yoga. And now I'm just at the point where it's really, truly about the breath. I've had the opportunity to work in so many populations. I worked at a place called Starview in Los Angeles, Torrance area, and it's a mental health facility for children that you know, they maybe have committed crimes, but because of their mental health, they don't get fully incarcerated. And a lot of them were dealing with drug addiction. And I would use these breathing exercises. And I can remember one day I went, and the counselor would always talk to me, and she would give me updates on the students. And she was like, listen, they say you're getting them high when you go in there. I was like, what are you talking about? I don't want to lose my job. I'm not, you see what I bring in, you check my bags. I'm not bringing, she said, no, they say that you make them feel so good, it reminds them of when they used to have take drugs. And she didn't really know too much about yoga. And I explained to her how the breath can manipulate the body and can manipulate what's going on and give you that high. So instead of the students getting numb, they were getting centered. And when they got centered, they were able to deal with the physical incarceration that they were in, and they were able to deal with the mental incarceration, which makes it so interesting right now in this new normal that we're all living in, because people kind of feel like they're in a physical incarceration, or they're being told what to do, told where to go, told where they can't go. I can remember being at these facilities and you had to be so many feet away from people because of what they think you might do. And look at this now, now you have to stay 6 feet away from people. So you see people moving through all these different emotions that a lot of these incarcerated youth have had to deal with, a lot of these incarcerated adults have had to deal with. So that has just made me even more empowered to really get these breathing exercises out to all kinds of communities. So I'm really having an interesting and fun journey on Instagram right now. You know, Instagram Live, I teach people how to breathe in the morning so that they can move through their day. And then at night, we practice a class that calms the nervous system so that we can transition into get some really good rest. Because I'm finding out that a lot of people aren't really going to sleep. They're passing out. If that's passing out from television, passing out from overeating, maybe passing out from doing other activities that don't allow them to sleep, just allows them to pass out. And then they don't really get that good rest. And then they wake up back in that moment. And I heard somebody say it's like Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same, you know, loop over and over again. So I'm excited about adding stillness into people's lives. I've always done things that weren't popular. Back when I did spoken word poetry, everybody's like, man, you're so good. Your voice is so dope. You should be a rapper. Rapping was popular. And I was like, no, I'm a poet. And then all of a sudden everybody became a poet. And then now poetry's super cool. And then now with the yoga, you know, everybody's always celebrating the movement. Look what pose you're in. Wow, look what your body looks like in that. And I celebrate the stillness. I celebrate the non-movement of the physical body, but the movement of the breath. So I'm hoping that that becomes popular. I'm hoping people, you know, because we're at the beginning right now, you know, of this quarantine, but what happens in the second month, you know, when it's not fun posting the comedy memes anymore? What happens when listening to DJs aren't enough, you know, just being still? So, you know, that's been my journey from 2009 up to today. Is just using these healing modalities. And that's the incredible thing. I use these all day long just to make it through my day. So I'm getting, like I said, invigorated, empowered to share these so people can add them to their life routine.
And I wanted to get more into you know, investigation, examination about the breath and work. Okay. So I'm super appreciative of this time with you. In the spirit of the work that we do with restorative justice and restorative practices, I wanted to drop a check-in question for the two of us to share.
Okay.
It's one that I've used actually. So all of this online virtual work, life, play is all new to a lot of us, including me. And what came up for me in a work meeting was this question. That I used later with some admin folks, with some principals at one of our school sites. And so I wanted to drop it for the both of us. And it is, what is something that you've engaged in, participated in, or experienced that has brought you great joy that's only been a result of this time?
Wow, that's okay.
It's a good one, huh?
that's a good one. And you're talking about this time right now since the stay-at-home order.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, I can go. I mean, I got my answer.
Yeah, let me listen to your answer, man. Let me, yeah. So you can pass the baton to me.
Well, you know, and there's a couple of things. There's like, but the thing that I want to connect to is, you know, again, it was back to you, Melvin. So like maybe 2 weeks ago from this recording, I had not been going on Instagram a lot, because I was just, you know, inundated with like screens and media, and just, it was a lot. But I went on Instagram and I saw your postings that you were going to do, you know, you were doing like live sessions. And so at like at 8 at night. And so it was a Thursday and I was excited to see you. And I even texted a friend of mine who, she and I were in class together with you. And it was powerful. I felt like I was back in physical space and class with you. And that week was a really crazy busy work week. And the next day I felt the most grounded and centered. And you know, I connected and contributed to that 30-minute breath work session with you on that Thursday at 8 o'clock. When I think about the question of like, what have I experienced or engaged in or participated in that's only been a result of this time, you know, the last time we were in class together was a long time ago. So to be right. able to have access to you and also be breathing with other folks was really powerful. One of my favorite things of this time. So on the real.
Wow. You know, I appreciate that. I truly do. I am, you know, what's so interesting is before the stay at home order in general, I was preparing. I was like, you know what? I think it's time for me to get off the grid. You know, I have been teaching for so long and I found myself really, really blessed at what I'm able to provide for people. But when I'm not doing that, I'm having issues. You know, like, I'm the guy that would not get invited to the party because it's like, you want to go too deep and we're here to have a good time, you know. And you're just weird. You know, you take a question, you go too deep. And what's been really been awesome for me is that we're building a community of people that want to experience being still. And I think that even though I'm a vessel for this amazing thing, I, in a way, was losing not belief for myself, but was I really needed? You know, and so this time has allowed me to know that, oh, I do have this gift that others want, you know, because I don't do too much. I like when I'm not teaching children, when I'm not teaching kids, I'm like at home. I'm a homebody, and not by choice, really just by, I've never really connected with mass groups of people. And this stay at home is just really, I wake up so ready in the morning when our stillness families, we call us, are getting together. And I had a friend check in and they were like, oh man, you know, you don't really have a lot of people. You got about like 8 or 9 people. And I was like, man, 8 or 9 people, that's not a lot to you. that's incredible for me. I can't call 8 or 9 people to come hang out and when this order's done. I couldn't get that together unless, of course, it was a work or class or something. So this time to get this time to stay at home order, this new normal, has been exciting because I get up and I really feel like I'm serving people. You know, I don't feel like I'm force feeding people, and it's making me feel like I got a family. It's making me feel good, you know. And
so my intuition has given me 3 questions for you. So I'm gonna lay out the first one. You ready?
I'm ready.
How can this living time be of service to blank? How can this living time be of service to blank for you?
How can this living time be a service to youth? To youth. The youth, just I think by means of being young, have a fearlessness. And this time has caused so much fear in adults. And children are so used to, okay, well, my parents doing this, my teacher's doing this, so I'm going to pick up that behavior too. But I think the youth are trying to do all they can to hold on to that fearlessness that, you know, there is going to be a new dawn, that there is going to be a new day. So I feel it's really important to listen to the youth right now. You know, of course, we have to give them, you know, the adult things like watching a child, you know, make sure you look both ways when you cross the street. But there's so much that we can learn from youth right now. I think that this time can be a service to youth by validating them, you know, by really saying, you know what, we need you to educate us right now. We need you to give us a zest for life right now. We need you to teach us how to be present right now. Because I was working with a group of children the other day and it sounded like they had their parents' voice and they had their parents' fear and they had their community's fear. And I can remember this one young girl I've had in class who was always rebellious in a good way. And it was almost like, who are you? And in such a short time, being at home, picking up family fear, she almost became this new bot or this new person. So I think it's time where we can just really reverse the scales and start asking the children, what do they need? Start asking the children, how can we serve them better? Start asking them, you know, like when this order is over, do you want to go back to school? You know, I know a guy right now and I tear up every morning because he's been out of school since March 15th and he gets bullied every day. So I know that for the last 22 days, his nervous system has been so calm because he has not had to wake up at 6 or 7, prepare school, and know that as soon as he walks on campus, the bullying begins. And so I'm excited right now because it's going to be a new age when this is over. And I think the youth are going to start to demand a new way. I had a student call me up, hey, Mr. Melvin, is it true I can emancipate myself? And I was like, yeah, you can get information and find out about that. It was like, okay, great, because I don't want to go back to school. I'm feeling so good. I'm not overeating like I overeat at lunch. I'm not sneaking to the vending machine. I am this quirky superhero that can just be a quirky superhero all day at home because his parents supports it. But as soon as he steps on campus, it doesn't get supported. The amazing educators who are there can't give all their focus to him all day long. So he just always felt lost. So I think this time, you know, that amazing question you ask, I think that this time, you know, we can, you know, really serve our youth and really listen because they're going to lead the way, man. You know, they're going to lead the way.
Yeah. I mean, I there's a lot of curiosities I have about what the transformation, what are the different choice making for all of us after this, and you know, and right now. And so I actually feel super hopeful and super expansive. So when we first started quarantine collectively, maybe like about the second week, I started recognizing that my chest felt a little tight. And I was like, uh-oh, you know? And knowing all that we knew then and now still about the virus and the illness, you know, and also being a person with asthma, you know, I was concerned. And then I recognized that each time I sat and I read news is when I started feeling that tightness. And so I had to do a body scan and like sit with that and then do my own work with that. And since then, I, even today, going to the grocery store, wearing a mask for the first time, like I felt very present, which connects to the next question I have is, what's the connection between breath and resiliency?
Wow. Well, we have this beautiful thing called the nervous system. Part of the nervous system is called the sympathetic nervous system, and that's the fight or flight. And there's times when we need to fight, and there's times when we need to flight. Because when it's time for battle, you have to be resilient in battle. You have to stand firm in who you are and know if you need to run or to battle. Right now, we don't know how to battle. We don't know what to fight. So what happens is we turn that on ourselves and we break ourselves down. You know, it's like if I know that the news, like for all of us, is going to make me anxious, I can't be anxious in battle. I've got to be prepared in battle. For me to be resilient, I have to be aware of where I am in that moment. So what happens is when you start to connect with the breath and you allow your movements to be controlled by your breath, you begin to get in something what's called the parasympathetic nervous system. That's the rest or the digest. So now we're all in a room by ourselves. We could be in a room with family members, all the way up to being into a mansion. But what happens is we start this inner war within ourselves. So if we have 20 rooms in our house, we start going crazy in those 20 rooms because you only be in one room at once. If we have one room just to be in, that same thing can happen. So what happens is when we connect with the breath, we start to be resilient in the moment and we start to be present and we realize, wow, right now, everything is okay. Everything is okay. And the only thing I control is my inhales and my exhales. And we're so powerful because, like you said, brother, you know, you move through asthma. There's other conditions that people move through. And our thoughts and our mind is so powerful and it is not our friend that it can generate sickness. I mean, the same way we can generate health. By saying I'm healthy, I'm whole. I'm healthy. I'm whole. Keep repeating that. Keep connecting to the breath. We can become resilient in our health, but we can also be a superhero in the negative way and break our health down. So the breath, just the lungs itself, the respiratory system, if you think about all the talk about the respiratory system, you look at that word, the word spirit is in between there. Mm. You can take away the suffix and prefix. And you got spirit, inspiration, your aspiration. So the spirit is who we all really are. We're just have this exterior vehicle whose only job is to move our spirit around. And then it's got this hitchhiker it picked up called the mind. And then the mind starts to control the steering wheel and drive it off course. But when we take the breath back, we're able to take control of that steering wheel back. And we're able to really kind of teleport and just be present in the moment. So these breathing modalities that I educate and I show people how to use, if you look at what's going on right now, and you look at the Trinity, the mind, body, and spirit, Our mind can start to watch the news and hear the different symptoms that are going on. And the mind's so powerful, it can give the illusion that it's showing up in the body. And then all of a sudden that illusion can turn into a real thing. It can generate, manifest in the body. But when you begin to use the breath to tame the bully called the mind, you can at the same time begin to tame and balance the body. And then the spirit can take over. Mm. And that spirit is what allows us to say, you know what? We're going to make it through this. Whatever's going to be the outcome is going to be the outcome, you know, and I think that's where the resiliency lies in, is in the spirit. I can remember when I had to teach at this Catholic school for the first time, and the pastor, the teacher was like, well, try not to use those yoga words that sound religion based, you know, and he was talking about, you know, spirit, this or that. And I was like, okay. And then I walked down the hall and I was like, excuse me, sir, you guys have spirit day next week. I'm seeing spirit all over here. And he's like, oh man, I never thought about that. You're right. I said, well, do you mind if I use that analogy since it's all over, you know, the walls? And he was like, I guess so, since we're using it. But I think that's the best comparison. It's like, we all want spirit day every day. Because what happens during spirit day? We wear the same outfit. We feel unified. We're not tripping off anything else but the mascot and representing who we are. So I think that's where the breath allows us to be resilient, because the breath allows the mind and the body to become balanced, and then the spirit can emerge. So it's only like, it's almost like a jigsaw puzzle, you know, or, you know, the spirit can really only get connected once the mind and the body have been connected. Then the spirit piece can get connected. So, you know, so yeah, I am. That's where I think the breath, and what's so amazing about the breath is that when you think about us, we do breath of fire, right? You practice breath of fire before.
Yeah.
Breath of fire is from Kundalini yoga, and it's a very funny sounding breath that's through the nose, and it sounds like. And while I'm doing that, I'm pumping my belly in and out. Well, what does breath of fire remind you of? It reminds you of when you hyperventilate. Except when you hyperventilate, it's through the mouth, and you're not controlling the breath. The breath is controlling you, or your mind is controlling you by controlling the breath. So you take that same fiery breath that makes you hyperventilate, and then you use it through the nose, and that gets the carbon dioxide out. It allows you to be present. If me and you are going on a walk and a car comes and the car almost hits me, I'm going to go, I'm going to take that breath in through my mouth. I'm going to get stuck, right? Well, there's a breathing exercise where you go, and then you hold it. You press the tongue against the roof of the mouth and you calmly exhale it out of the nose. So it's not like we're really teaching ourselves anything. It's we're taking back control of what we've given up control of, and that's the breath. So that's where, you know, I love the question of the resiliency, because that's how we make it through to the next moment. That's how we make it through to the next hour. That's how we make it through the next day. How can we be resilient? Because like you said, I mean, you're an educator, I'm an educator, and I'm just putting the pieces together. I think, okay, well, LAUSD is having distance learning for the rest of the year. They don't want to get rid of the stay-at-home order before school's over and have all these kids back out. That wouldn't really make sense, you know? So it's probably going to be to the end of May, you know, or say it is another, you know, today's April 6th, 24 days. So let's say another 54 days. So in these next 54 days, imagine being able to build a practice of resiliency. Mm-hmm. Imagine being able to say, this is a righteous routine that I'm going to follow. I'm not going for perfection. I'm just going for practice. Mm-hmm. So I think, man, if, you know, when we get on the other end of this, we are going to have two things. You know, we're going to have a lot of wounded warriors that are going to need support, but we're going to have a lot of resilient warriors because they've really prepared for battle. Mm-hmm. And neither one is better than the other, because we need each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that, once again, taking it back to your amazing first question, that's what I see going on with these youth. You know, they are really supporting each other. You know, they know the friends that are moving through depression. They know the friends that are moving through anxiety. They know the friends that are moving through trauma. And they're like, I got to be strong to support them. And all I do is remind them, be strong for yourself first so you can support your friend better.
We have these 17 restorative beliefs that guide us in our work in implementation of community building and restorative choices. And one of them is all youth have wisdom, there's some work to do with adults, with professionals around that belief. And this last question that my intuition has given me to present to you is of service to someone or some folks, I don't know, but this is I wanted to ask, and it's also in connection that it's been informed by a young person, by a young student of yours. We were in, I think it was last week, I think in the evening session, and you had talked about how we were doing, I forget what the name is, Melvin. I think I've heard it sometimes being referred to as box breath, where you breathe, 1, 2, 3, inhale, hold, 1, 2, 3, and then exhale, 1, 2, 3. And you had talked about, I think it was maybe a kindergartner had said, Mr. Melvin, I just died in that holding of the breath. And so yes. The question that I have is, tell me a story about a time when you died and then you came back up to life again.
Wow. Man, you're coming with these questions, brother. Wow, your intuition is amazing. I love it.
And wow. If it's too much, you know, full, be flexible with it, play with the Melvin, you know, like, I don't want to activate.
Well, you know what? And that breath was called like retention and suspension breath. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I can think about two times, you know, because I really believe that I came onto this planet as a super silly spirit. I can remember, you know, from kindergarten to 14, just being the kid that would skip. And I watched my mother be abused, and I died on that day. Mm-hmm. I died on that day. I lost my joy. I lost my happiness. And actually lost my mother, not physically, but I lost her as the mother-son relationship. I became her buddy. And that can be weird, having a parent as a buddy, because they tell you everything, you know, and some things you shouldn't know. So I became really evil. I became really mean. And I became a bully. You know, what was born was just this dark spirit that wanted to hurt because they had been hurt. And then I left, I finished high school, and I had the opportunity to be on my own in college. And I had some experiences there where, you know, my anger wasn't getting me anywhere, you know, and I think I began, you know, if you think about a pregnancy as being like, what, maybe 9.5, 10 months, I began a new birth. You know, I was pregnant. My spirit was pregnant. You know, mm-hmm. I wasn't born yet, but I realized, you know what, I don't have to hold on to this anger. And that's when my spoken word poetry and I started writing, you know, it really took off. So I guess you could say, you know, my spirit was maybe 2 months pregnant. And right. And then I became an RA or a GA in grad school of a international house. So children, you know, students would come 6 months from all over the world.
Okay.
And then I started to realize how big the world was. And I had this small scope and I just realized how people were happy. I had never met so many happy people. And I guess you could say then I was maybe 6-7 months very pregnant. And then my first yoga class in that pigeon pose. And pigeon pose, if you can imagine, you know, lying on your stomach and then taking your hands, pressing off the ground like a snake. And one leg is long and the other leg is bent in. And what happens is when you lie or sit up in that pose, it starts to get into what's called the second chakra, where the, you know, the pelvis area, the genitalia area, creativity, where you literally birth life. I cried so much in that pose. And I cried like it was almost regurgitating. And I felt birthed again. I felt that I could let go. And what was so interesting was that I moved out to LA with my older cousin. And I didn't move out here for Hollywood like a lot of people do. It was just he did. And I was just following my big cousin and I was tired of graduate school. And I went from being this angry person to feeling that I had to serve everybody's needs. But once I sat in that pigeon pose and I cried, I felt birthed again. I felt alive again. I was like, you know what? It's time to get Melvin back. It's time to be silly again. It's time to be corny again. It's time to be comfortable with who I am again, because I've lost a lot of great relationships because I thought that, ooh, I had to be this certain way, or this person had to look this certain way or act this certain way for me to be with them. I gave my freedom away and I've never felt so freer than I do right now. And I've just been working on this new life for literally 20 years, you know, like, and I think that every day I'm getting clearer and clearer. And yeah, I don't know if I answered that good. It's got me kind of, wow, man, Gilbert, oof, those aren't questions, man. Those are therapy moments.
I mean, man. You know, I was nervous too, because after we had connected about scheduling, I was like, man, what am I going to ask Melvin? Like, what am I don't even know. And then I think maybe it was Friday. I took my journal and I was like, you know what? I'm going to quickly sketch something out and then later I'll come back to it. And I sat down and just like, boom, there was flow. All those three questions. And I'm so appreciative to, you know, that I'm, you know, a witness to your responses and not just a witness, but a participant in seeing you participating in the work that you're meant to be doing, and to be also transformed along with that. You know, that's the power of education, as we know.
Yeah.
One last request for folks who are listening, before they hopefully will consider to join the Stillness family on IG, which we'll talk more about, but is there any practice that you could present to us that, you know, as folks listening in the house, wherever, that they can participate in along with us?
I would love to show a breathing or guide us through a breathing exercise that we all need right now, and it's called victory breath. Mm. So if you're sitting in the chair, if you're in a wheelchair, if you're on the floor or a yoga mat, you can just sit up nice and tall right now and go ahead and pull the flesh away from the bottom area. And you'll feel these things called your sit bones. And guess what those bones are for? To sit. So what I want you to do right now is just gently press the sit bones down into the floor, into the chair. And just imagine that our only goal right here is to add space to the physical body so that we can add space to the mind by connecting to the breath. So as you press your sit bones into the earth, I want you to bring your awareness to your navel center and gently pull that in and up so you feel yourself grow a little taller and feel that space you've already created. Then I want you to take a gentle inhale through your nose as you roll your shoulders up to your ears, give a gentle squeeze. And as you exhale out of your mouth, roll your shoulders down and back. And I want you to begin just to feel how you've expanded the heart, expanded the lungs. And as the shoulders roll down, I want you to imagine that the heart feels like it's being lifted up. Then I want you to gently take your chin like you're trying to take a pencil to your chest and tuck your chin into your chest so that you feel the back of the neck become nice and long. And just begin to already to feel the space that you've added to the body. Now bring your awareness right underneath the nostrils right now, the top lip. And I just want you to take a gentle inhale in through the nose. And I want you to imagine you're in the bathroom and you're fogging up the mirror as you exhale out of your mouth. Gently inhale through your nose. And exhale out of your mouth. Now I want you to imagine that the lungs are shaped like a teardrop, with the biggest part of the teardrop being at the bottom of the stomach area. So as you take that next gentle inhale in, I want you to fill up the belly. Imagine that that oxygen rises up to the chest and then rises right underneath the collarbone. As you exhale and make that foggy sound out of your mouth, you empty the oxygen out of the collarbone, out of the chest, and the belly sinks back down and gently pulls back in. So just continue to have an adventure with that breath as you inhale, filling up three portions of the lungs. We're going to give each portion a count. So as you inhale, think one, filling up the belly, two, filling up the chest, and three, filling up the collarbone. And as you exhale through the mouth, you empty out the collarbone for one, the chest for two, and the belly for three. So that's a 6 second dance with the breath. So now remember that foggy sound you were making with the breath. You're gonna make that same foggy sound with the exhale, but you're gonna keep your mouth closed when you exhale. And the exhale will be through the nose. And when you exhale, you'll press the tongue against the roof of the mouth. And instead of hearing that whisper come out of your mouth, you'll hear that whisper in the back of your throat, and you'll feel that whisper in the back of your throat. And it sounds like this, the inhale, the exhale. So continue that 6 second dance with the breath. Continue to sit up nice and tall. Continue to hear that breath on the back of the throat as you exhale. And when you inhale, I want you to think of the words, I am, as you complete the inhale. And as you exhale, the words, so resilient. The inhale, thinking, I am. The exhale, so resilient. So since that's a 6-second breath, we're going to do it 10 times, and that'll be 1 minute. Here we go. Beautiful. Gently blink the eyes. Gently wiggle the fingers. Gently wiggle the toes. And open your eyes. So that 1 minute breath can really reconfigure how we feel. It can allow us to be more present and allow us to remember that I am so resilient. Yes, brother.
It's amazing too how bright colors are after a,
yes,
you know, a session, the breath, the practice. Closing down, I want to also give an affirmation of how much I love the owl behind you, the qigong.
Oh, yes, I brother.
Felt. And so I
yes, like, brother. The wise owl looks behind him.
So I've been appreciating that in the morning, and the exercise, the practice qigong with the arrow. Forget the name,
yes,
of that.
Yes, shooting the bow. That's super. Focus, yes, sir.
And on a joy tip, I also want to tell you, Melvin, so when I was in college, I took two different classes of Tai Chi. Actually, Melvin, I just yesterday busted out my Tai Chi shoes that I have not worn.
Yes.
Since you had a class one time, a few times. And so I busted it out. They're ready. But there's a,
yes.
I do a part of my practice in the morning. Is also a breath of fire, which I love, and also standing tree meditation. And so I there's a practice in the qigong practice that you do with us in the mornings I forget the name of it, but sometimes you refer to it as looking for the remote, where you're sort of crouching down. And so
yes.
I've been wanting to say that my twerking practice has been much more on point as a result. Sometimes I don't even do the remote. I just twerk, you know, twerk for that minute. And it's been powerful. And so thank
wait,
you
twerk, T-W-E-R-K?
Yeah, because you also said that a student reminded you to do the Michael Jackson, as opposed, you know, to like not curve the back would make it
exactly.
And right. So I was in front of a mirror that morning, that particular morning. And so I was practicing that. And then I was like, wait, there's another consequence of this. And so I just, you know, played with my body and had a twerking moment and have been doing that since. So, you know, come to Melvin Sessions and, you know, get your twerking practice on. Melvin, where
oh,
can...
Oh, man, I love it, man.
It's real.
now you got me looking at that pose totally different, but you're right, it is. And you know, what's so funny is when we were doing it, and, you know, I'm trying to learn the whole online demeanor, you know, still keep it engaged when the people comment. Mm-hmm. And we were doing that, and someone commented, wow, this is showing me how uncoordinated I am. And that is, you know, to be able to twerk is a controlling pose.
Because you know what I found? Love that, man. Well, you know what I found, honestly, is that when I go into twerking, I'm much more relaxed now. And so there's much more looseness and fluidity in that motion.
Right.
And it's powerful. It's powerful. Melvin, where can people be part of the Stillness family? Give everybody all the details.
Yes, well, every day at 9 a.m., we do a class on Instagram Live as Spoken Yoga, SpokenYoga. And that class is called Brush and Floss Flow. And all we do is what we do in the morning when we brush our teeth and get rid of the morning breath. We kind of add oxygen, floss our body so we can get rid of that morning breath in our spirit. So that's a very gentle movement class of Qigong, of Tai Chi, and of connecting our breath to the movement. And that's every morning, Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. And then also on IG Live at Spoken Yoga at 8 p.m., we do classes to prepare to transition into sleep. So that's when we really focus in on breathing modalities, and I lead guided meditations that take us into the parasympathetic, the rest or digest. So you can catch me there every day on IG Live at either 8 a.m. or 9 p.m. If you go to Deep Red, deepred.bandcamp.com, you can get my meditations. You can get my spoken word, and I'll be putting videos up on there soon that will be videos for students between kindergarten and 12th grade to have a daily mindfulness practice. Mm-hmm. So right now, those two places are where you can really find all my work.
Calling out to everybody listening, shout out to you for listening, and please, support your own breath and resiliency. Go on at 9 o'clock and 8 o'clock every day. It's been powerful.
Come join the family, the Stillness family.
Melvin, I appreciate you so much, and gratitude to you, gratitude to all the ancestors that are behind you, gratitude to all the young people in front of you, all the ways that you've lifted me up all these years, and you've become part of my weekly routine and practice of collective care and resiliency. So much appreciation, gratitude to you.
And thank you for your support too, brother. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's, we have to also support each other in this time and in the past time and in the next time. So also calling in for folks to support healers in the community. Melvin, final words of joy.
Final words of joy. Wow. Just breathe your story. Your story can really elevate someone else's life. It can guide them into their purpose work. So just continue to be authentic with your truth. Continue to breathe. Continue to be silly. I want you to come into my class with a sense of silliness versus a sense of fear, because fear will allow you to be there temporary, but silliness will keep us there forever. So stay silly and just let that joy resonate through you. Yes. Yay.
Folks, please, you are listening to What You Know About RJ, Sharing Stories and Skills About Restorative Justice, a podcast of CCJ California Conference for Equality and Justice. Please rate, review, subscribe to this podcast. It helps us for folks who are looking for podcasts, for information, for experiences like this. So please support us in that way. And also follow CCJ in all of our social media as well. We have doing a lot of our work online and virtual platforms coming up around community and resiliency and collective care. This podcast is, this particular series is a piece of all of the work that we are leading these next 2 months. So thank you to the listener. Melvin, thank you to you.
Thank you, brother.
Peace out.